Before the podcast today, I want to say a quick thank you for your patience and understanding as we ended up taking just over a week off in the summer holidays to spend a little bit of downtime with our young son and some time off. But now, back in the saddle, and here we go. Coming up on podcast 1182, why has the Hyundai Ioniq 5 just dethroned the Model 3? Find out. Also on the podcast today, why Rivian could choose Texas for their next factory, the robotic recycler that dismantles EV batteries, and British Volt's gigafactory plans. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Tuesday, 17th of August. Blimey, take a week off, forget how to do it. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. We'll start with Audi bringing their Tri-Motor e-tron and e-tron S Sportback to the US. Now, we have it over here. We have the Tri-Motor, three-motor version of the e-tron in Europe, but now it's coming to the USA. If you want the SUV, it starts at $84,800 for the e-tron S, and the e-tron S Sportback being slightly more. Audi launching the vehicle last year as the first electric car worldwide with three motors in mass production. Well, the three electric motors, two of which are on the rear axle, provide 370 kilowatts of boost power. It allows the two purely electrically driven models to accelerate 0 to 100kph. That's 0 to 62.1 miles an hour, 4.5 seconds. Not face-meltingly fast, but if you ask me, for an SUV that big and heavy, that'll do nicely. Electrek.co says that nearly 2 inches wider than the e-tron and the e-tron Sportback, the S versions have wider bodywork than the standard model, and an EPA range with the standard wheel and tyre package before you get funky in the configurator. Around 208 miles for the e-tron S, 212 miles for the slightly more slippery at the rear e-tron Sportback S. Again, starting around $85,000 for those cars. Not something that's going to be on the shopping list of too many people, but if you can afford one and you are buying those kind of cars, then add it to your shopping list. I'll pop a link to Electrek in the show notes. Now, let's talk about Rivian and where their next factory could be. The city of Fort Worth is in negotiations to bring Rivian to the city. And I saw plenty of commentary on this online from people saying, well, they just want to be in Texas, like Tesla, like it's the thing to do. It's fashionable to go to Texas at the moment. A lot of companies are actually leaving the West Coast and particularly leaving California as well. Tax reasons have been cited. But let me tell you about what happens behind the scenes, the competitive process to woo Rivian to a city or area is one that is pretty competitive, and they want to go to Fort Worth because they could be given a 2,000 acre site, a 12 million square foot building to be located there, 12 miles from downtown Fort Worth and south of Interstate 20. According to the city, the project generates under 2,000 jobs, about 1,875 jobs. And by the end of the decade, just under 10,000 jobs, with a minimum average annual salary of $56,000, says the Texan.news website. Fort Worth is offering tax abatements and grants of $440 billion, by the look of it, over the 15-year program, reducing the company's tax burden by 85%. Now, the city plans to nominate the project for funding through the Texas Enterprise Zone Program, says this website, a state sales and use tax refund program designed to encourage private investment and job creation in economically distressed areas of the state, according to the Office of the Governor's website. That's one of the reasons why Texas is so popular with so many companies, because they're being wooed. Why do you think Tesla ended up just outside Berlin? Well, actually quite a long way outside Berlin, but it's called Giga Berlin. It wasn't because they just, you know, fancied being in Germany, you know, liked the local cuisine. These things that go on with policymakers, with politicians, and with plenty of those kind of bodies that are able to extract incentives you know, at a local authorities and around a regional bodies and things like that. That's why these companies end up where they are. We'll stay with Rivian and their battery supplier, Samsung, or Samsung SDI, I should say. They're looking at Illinois for a plant to build batteries in. A new plant near the EV Hopefuls Illinois factory, the NPR affiliate WGLT reporting today. Now, this report cites the United States Senator Dick Durbin, who said that Normal, Illinois, home of Rivian's assembly plant, the ex-Mitsubishi place, isn't it, that they're in, is a finalist for a planned Samsung battery factory. Durbin met virtually with Rivian CEO RJ Scaringe recently, according to GreenCarReports.com. They say the project has been discussed for at least 6 months under the codename Project Maximus, according to this NPR report. The Normal mayor, Chris Koos, told WGLT that a local incentives package was in play. Surprise, surprise. The media outlet reporting that the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity also being involved to get more state-level incentives. Well, Samsung SDI is, at the moment, the sole battery supplier of Rivian's vehicles, at least at launch. I don't know if Rivian are going to widen the net of where they buy their batteries from, but at the minute, all coming from Samsung. Next, we'll talk about battery recycling. As electric vehicles continue to gain popularity, one thing we'll have to deal with down the road is mounting piles of batteries that have reached the end of their life, says this article on the website newatlas.com. Well, it's a common thing for news articles to write. You know, when cars come to the end of their life, they go to the scrapyard. You see cars piled up. You see cars in the crusher, and you think that's bad for the environment. It's going into landfill. What's being recycled? What many of these articles either don't appreciate or do appreciate, but realise that their readers, whatever their audience is, wants to read sentences like mounting piles of batteries that have reached the end of their life. Well, they just don't understand that, you know, second life, third life, etc. batteries, we haven't even got into that yet. Right, so battery recycling is going to be interesting, but when an EV battery gets to the end of its life, there are so many places that it can go. It can go to resto mods, it can go into home projects, it can go into home storage, it can go to grid level storage as well. Anyway, they continue that casting their eye towards the future, the Oak Ridge National Laboratory has developed a new robotic system that automatically disassembles EV batteries with efficiency and safety. Doing so by hand involves discharging the battery to make it safe, taking apart piece by piece. You know, the workers can be exposed to toxic chemicals and power levels. Looking at robotics, well, they can do the heavy lifting. The team turned to a previously developed one to extract rare earth magnets from old hard drives. It was then adapted for use on EV batteries, with the new disassembly system able to configure itself to take any kind of battery stack coming down the line. Safely undoing bolts, not Chevy bolts, but, you know, bolts and housings, even when the battery isn't fully discharged. Yeah, a lot of EV batteries live around 400 volts, you know, plus or minus. A lot of new EV batteries living at 800 volts. Not particularly hard to make an 800-volt system. You just wire some more cells in series, don't you? However, there's obviously, you know, otherwise everyone would be doing it. There is a lot involved in making these 800-volt systems, but it's good you can let, you know, save copper costs on wiring and things like that. The semiconductors tend to be not robust enough, which is why everything isn't 800 volts. But there's loads of 400-volt stuff on the shelf for car makers to buy. But yeah, so in the future, you know, commercial systems and, you know, working vehicles, buses, they could be over 1,000 volts. So it's great that we're not exposing people to potential risk. But like I say, how often will we be recycling batteries? It's something that we just don't know because so many batteries haven't got to the end of their life yet. Well, the automated system will disassemble these battery packs down to cell level and pull out materials like cobalt, lithium and metal foils. It can extract individual battery modules for refurbishment and reuse in energy storage systems. Well, I think this is where it will be going. I'm not sure there's a pile of EV batteries anywhere in the world waiting to be, you know, broken down to cobalt, lithium and metal. I think it's all being reused in the kind of modules that they are in. Well, these new robots can do 100 or more battery packs in the time it would take a human to do 12. And I'll pop a link to New Atlas in the in the show notes if you'd like to read that website for more details. Coming up on the podcast very soon, we'll talk about Britain's Gigafactory plans and the Giga Press that Tesla are using for the Model Y. Stick around, that's coming up next. Now, though, headline story. Hyundai's IONIQ 5 is safer than what is often touted as the world's safest cars. It's safer than a Tesla Model 3, according to new government tests. The Ministry of Land, Infrastructure and Transport saying today that a safety test conducted by the Transportation Safety Authority compared the two models. IONIQ 5 had a score of 92.1, Model 3 83.3 was the score, according to Korea, Joongangdaily.com. Well, the IONIQ 5's high-voltage electrical system didn't catch fire in a collision test. After a crash, the doors still opened, and in testing for possible collisions with pedestrians using dummies and simulations, the materials and design of the IONIQ 5 absorbed the shocks better and prevented injury. Testing for possible head injuries found that the materials used in the Hyundai and the design of the bonnet, the hood, sorry, I'm bilingual, avoided critical injury. Well, as of the end of July, about 8,600 IONIQ 5s were sold in Korea, home market of Korea, of course, and about 6,000 Model 3s. So in July alone, you know, there is pent-up demand, I get that, but again, people are buying that domestic-made vehicle, and I can't wait to drive it. I got one of my listeners who is expecting any day now his IONIQ 5, so looking forward to the call and going out with him. He can give me a little tour, and if not, then hopefully he gets it very soon. But otherwise, it's the car that I'm leaning towards. I've said for a long time to you, like, the car that would suit us the most is a Model Y, right-hand drive, rear-wheel drive, long range. That would do me absolutely fine for the next few years where we are with family life, but Tesla don't make one. So we've got to look at a decision to get rid of the Zoe. Love the Kona, love the e-Niro, love the EV6, love the IONIQ 5. That's where I am at the minute. Mrs. Lee thinks a bit angular, but she likes it as well. I do like the EV6, I must admit. That's a really nice car. But we'll wait and see. Got to make a decision at some point. And it means getting rid of the Zoe, the two-year-old Zoe that we cherish. And I'm out there every weekend washing it like a loon. So that's going to go, whoever gets that, will get a lovely little car to play with. But yeah, be very sad to see. That's our second Zoe that'll go. But anyway, nearer the time when it comes to sell it, I'll tell you the story and maybe even ask for your advice on what our next car should be. Next, we'll talk about Glencore investing in British Volt's electric battery gigafactory plans. Mining giant Glencore is putting some cash into the battery startup British Volt and its construction of a gigafactory to support the UK's car industry and the transition to EVs. As part of the partnership, Glencore is supplying cobalt, one of the key raw materials for current electric batteries. But if they're thinking that they're nailed on for future technology there, well, they need to be reminded that pretty much all EV makers are very busy removing cobalt from EV batteries. The Financial Times reporting this, though. According to CityAM.com, as the biggest producer of cobalt globally, the FTSE 100-listed company is providing British Volt with 30% of the metal supply from 2024 onwards. Well, British Volt's electric car battery plant is going to cost £2.6 billion under construction in Northumberland. It's the northeast of England, for those needing a geography lesson. Planning permission was granted back in July. It's going to employ about 1,000 people to begin with, and then increasing by to 3,000 at full capacity. It's on 235 acres, and they will make batteries to support the UK domestic car industry. We do have one, and it will help meet the government's targets of reducing emissions. Fully operational by 2023 is the current plan for British Volt. About 300,000 batteries a year being made. So I'd rather know that in gigawatt hours number, and we can work that out. But the stat they use is 300,000 EV batteries a year. Okay, I'll pop a link to that in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Tesla are next in the news, and Giga Austin. Well, a few days ago, Teslarati reporting that Tesla has received a shipment that consisted of a massive box from the IDRA, I-D-R-A, IDRA Group. It would make sense that the contents of these huge boxes are the Giga Press, since we know what IDRA makes, which is the Giga Press. We also know that Tesla has purchased and installed some of these large casting machines. Tesla is now preparing the foundation for the machine's installation. And yeah, Tesla get a lot of the credit for a fully cast front and rear of the Model Y, at least when they redesigned the Model Y for Berlin, when it's made there, which it should be by the end of the year. It'll have a fully cast rear and front section, structural battery pack with the new 4680 cells in the Berlin-made Model Y, at least. And again, Tesla get a huge amount of credit for this, but, you know, IDRA is a third-party company. They will be supplying these. I think all of the automotive industry will, if they all have plans to move over to this, but hey, you know, Tesla's very, very good at getting all the publicity. They're not alone in doing this. They're not even the first, but they get the credit. And hey, that's all that matters. As somebody said, perception is a reality. Ford are next, and the Spin Company, which is owned by Ford. It's a micro-mobility unit of Ford Motor Company, working with Google Maps to get some data on Google Maps for e-scooters and e-bikes. Google Maps users can now see Spin availability as you plan your journey in 84 cities, campuses, towns in Europe and North America. The integration brings wider public awareness to Spin's availability of their e-scooters and e-bikes. Google Maps can see in real time the nearest available machine, including how long it'll take to walk from where you're current location is, the estimated battery range and expected arrival time, and you can then go to the Spin app to pay for your hire of the vehicle and unlock it. Micromobility is continuing to gain traction to become a mainstream transportation solution for those living in urban areas or campuses. E-scooters and e-bikes increasingly built into the journey planning platforms like Google Maps. And I talk about it all the time. There are so many journeys I should not be driving for. Anything that's a mile or two, I should be jumping on an e-bike or an e-scooter. I know it. I'm just lazy. I'm trying. Oh, my goodness. Right, a question of the week this week with emobilitynorway.com. Takes a break. It'll be back next week. Thanks to our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley, so busy, almost a video a day, isn't it, he's making? And some cracking ones lately on his EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, growing all the time as well. Richard at rscv.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there ain't no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.